Welcome to the first episode of Guilds of the North, where Shark is King and Yom sucks. I'm Paul, your host, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron, and B. Steve.
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
I think this
that
is
totally
the best,
works.
Yeah, it's the best intro ever, Paul.
Totally works.
It does work.
Because Shark rules. Shark is the man.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the part we're laughing at.
Well, you know. Hey, not my fault. Yom stopped playing the game. All right, folks. So, obviously, this is a episode about Guild Ball. This is a game that Steve's obsessed with, Antoine's a pundit for, and I play from time to time. And there's some big changes in the pipe. And we've got a bit of a sneak preview, so we're recording this 2 days ahead of the news going public. So hopefully we'll have this edited and launched on time for release.
Hopefully.
And yeah, we're going to talk about those changes. So we have a list in front of us, a change log, for all the models in the game that are having some tweaks, nerfs, sorry, and a couple that got some buffs. And with Steve's help and Antoine's guidance, we're going to go through this.
And your wit.
Me? Well, my wit. I'm just here for English translations and funny intros and making fun of Yom.
It's a job.
It's a job. I make a living at it, you know?
And you're the best at it, so.
Well, I am pretty good at making fun of Yom. You know, I figure other podcasts spend so much time stroking his ego that I have to kick him in the crotch once in a while.
Yeah, there needs to be a balance.
That's right. A balance in the force. I sensed great disturbance in the force. I listened to a couple Moose Machine podcasts. There was too much Yom love going on, so I'm here to balance out the scales. Man, Yom is really going to think I hate him after this.
Not more than usual, I think.
I suppose. Okay, so I can make fun of Yom all night and keep going, but let's actually get to some content. So I have quickly read the list and looked at a couple things. Now, I'm not familiar with a lot of the teams. I don't play a lot of Guild Ball. What I have played, I do love. I think it's a well-put-together game. And I have to admire Steamforge's constant and persistent drive to improve the game.
Mm-hmm. And balance it.
Yeah, and I think the changes they've made will definitely help make a better game in the end. Before we get into this, I just want to say, I was talking with Steve beforehand, that I think actually, and we've had this discussion, all three of us, before off the air, that we've seen a decline, let's say, in the local player base for Guild Ball. And it's unfortunate because the game is excellent. But I think one of the things that people may be a little off-put about are the fact that the game constantly changes and tweaks. It's like it's an ever-evolving product. It's like a living game almost. And I think because of that, people might be a little scared. You know,
it doesn't change that fast, though.
Well, compared to other games, I don't think it changes at a lightning pace either. I think they have a couple changes per season, which is per year, basically.
It's around 6 to 8 months, the changes, because the last changes we had for Guild Ball were in last November.
Right, but also you have to remember that players are used to games that change once every 3 years.
We say that, right? but also, most of the Guild Ball players that, at least in our metas, are War Machine players. And that game had similar change.
Yeah, about every 6 months with the Rattles. Yeah.
And Game Workshop is starting to do almost every 2 months facts for their game as well. So
yeah, no, absolutely. And like I said, I don't think it's a bad thing. But I think one of the biggest complaints about even War Machine back in the day in Mark II was the constant Rattas. And then Mark III has been a lot of changes too. So I think players are still getting used to that whole idea that the game is constantly in flux and constantly being retooled and rebalanced. And I think it's going to take a while for people to get used to it. But it is, I think, a better way to do a game. Yep. Keeps the game fun and fresh, right?
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Anyway, fun.
Yeah. Speaking of
overall,
fun.
Overall, the game didn't change. So what we have is a series of erratas, and they are only two models. So the core rules have not changed at all.
I just want
get that clear.
I just want to say that I feel singled out personally by Steamforged because, you know, three models that I actually play are three models that are changed and they're at the top of the list. So I think personally, DC is attacking me.
Well, it's because you played the OP faction, Paul. You're the whack player. I'm not.
But I can barely play, so I need OP models to beat you, Steve.
I know, and you won.
I know, but this rebalancing will ruin any further chances of me beating you. So I'm a little upset. So let's talk about those changes. So first up, and probably the biggest change for the fisherman,
Sharky boy.
Shark took it in the nuts. So he lost Gut and String, which is replaced now with Stagger. Stagger is target enemy model suffers -1 defense. Gut and String before was -4 move.
No, it's -4, -4, and -1 defense.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was right on something. Someone write that down. Antoine was wrong, and I was right. That never happens.
Okay, that's it, guys. I'm going to buy a lottery ticket after this.
Yeah, it's like it's in the Bible somewhere. Raining blood, sea of frogs. Antoine is wrong, and Paul is right about rules. I totally derailed myself. Where was I going?
Oh, you were talking about
So Gut and String, being pulled, number one reason it was pulled was actually not because Gut and String itself is too powerful, because that ability remains in the game. It's mostly that Shark's combination of Gut and String and the next thing we're going to talk about being his legendary play.
Caught in the net.
Yeah, caught in the net, which was a -4/-4 move adjustment, or penalty, I should say. They stacked, so you had people with like -8/-8, and then -1 defense on top of it. It was just brutal. It basically stopped any players he could reach with his stick and poke. Because the Gut and String is fairly easy to get with him, too, because he's got a pretty high attack score.
Yeah, that was another of the problem. It's only in his third column out of the six, so it was easy to proc. And even with the nerf they did to it with no range, it was still really good.
And another thing is coupled with Knee Slider, if you added that as a plot card, I mean, you just got 9 inches away, and then you had a couple of players who were potentially able to reach you by dodges or anything, they couldn't because now they were -8/-8 and you were 9 inches away. So there was no way they could reach you. So you basically killed one turn.
Yep. And I really like that. And I'm sad they took it away from me. I may actually have to learn how to play the game now. And I just know how I feel about that.
But the legendary, the pulse at 6 inches instead of 8 as before.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
That's just fine. And it's more into line with other legendary, like we saw with Skata, or legendaries, everybody within 6 inches as well. So I think I think
it's new design versus old design.
Yeah.
I think they came to realize that the 8-inch pulse is just too big. Right.
Yeah. I don't think anything else in the game has that big of a pulse.
No, you were able to catch everybody in the other player's team, especially on the first turn because their shark is so fast. I think that was the biggest problem with that.
For sure. All right. So enough about Shark. Moving on, Siren. Her influence attribute reduced to 2/3. Now, I don't know what the reasoning was there. Steve, do you have an idea?
Well, basically, it's just because if you choose to use Seduce, you don't have any other influence to either like score back or using just one influence and do another goal, or to pass the ball away again to another player and just try to kill the ball. That's what I think. That's for the reasoning behind.
So you think it was the double pass they were trying to avoid?
Yeah, probably. That's the only reason I would see reducing her to 3.
She could still do it, but she need to charge to be able to get it from her playbook.
Yeah,
which means that she's now at least engaging or maybe engaged, which is more complicated. So there's a risk reward there.
Exactly. She can still do it, but. She need She needs to charge with a couple of friends because she's only tech 3 and it's on the third column. So it's more risky.
Yeah.
As before, like you were just 6 inches away. Use 3 influence for that, and then you add 1 influence to do whatever you want after.
Yeah, so I guess just to bring her in line a little bit. So it wasn't a big change.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
When from the local meta year, we didn't see her much because of Veteran Siren, which we always saw. Because
also nerfed.
Yeah, let's be honest. She was really awesome.
And she still is, for that matter. She's still really good.
So she's the next model on the list?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she had her playbook changed.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that was it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a big change, though.
Yes. Yeah, no. But I mean, they didn't change her influence or anything like that. Nope. So she goes back up to the 2-4. Or she stays at 2-4,
At 2-4.
And they added a column to her playbook.
Exactly.
Yes. So she no longer have a Brewer's playbook.
Yeah. So what they did is they basically moved... actually, they've made a lot of changes to her playbook.
Well, the biggest
change... She no longer has damage and something else.
Yeah.
In the same choice.
Because before, she could do like 2 damage and push dodge or 2 damage and red gaze. And now, yeah, if you want to do the 2 damage, it's only the 2 damage, not combined with the push dodge. And same goes for Dread Gaze. Before, it was on the second column with Dread Gaze and a push dodge, which was so good. And now on the second result, at least it's either Dread Gaze or the push dodge. So.
Yeah, and you still have Dread Gaze push dodge, but it's now in the fourth column.
Yeah, exactly. It's harder to get. But, well, if you do decide to charge, you'll probably still get it with an assist or something like that. But it's going to be harder than before.
Which, let's face it, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
She wrapped too easy before.
It was so easy.
Yeah, before she could maybe do it even twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we discussed how she became a melee beatstick because of the wrapping, right?
Mm-hmm. And her damage, she had a damage, momentous damage choice, which is no longer the case. So she's still good. She can't do everything now.
But she's still going to be used. I mean, just for the Dread Gaze, and you can still get it on the second column. Just mean like if you want to get to safety, you either will have to charge or use another attack to then get the push dodge that you were wanting before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, she still has Shadow Legs. She still has her Escaping Fate.
Yeah, exactly.
Still a good model.
Yeah, yeah.
Health pool's unchanged, so it's still kind of squishy. But
well, she's squishy, but with...
She always was. Nothing changed.
Yeah, exactly. There. With Escaping Fate, she's not that squishy.
Yeah, so we have... let's see. Who's next? Oh, Midas. Almost nothing changed there.
Almost.
Poor Midas.
The man with the Midas touch.
Okay, you are forbidden from doing that ever again. just so you know.
Well, I was trying to change the lyric from Goldfinger to match with Midas.
I know. It was painful. All right, Midas. Wow, light-footed removed. Okay. Yeah. Super shot removed. Yeah. Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah. Lure of Gold became once per turn, yes. So no more doing multiples of that.
Which is which was much needed, though.
Yeah, because you could basically just... It was the movement, right? Yeah,
it was... So much movement you gave your team. You could do it once per player before. So you could move a couple of players really near the attack line quite easy on the first turn. So, yeah, it was really bad. Well, it was not really bad, but it was really too good.
And then Promise of Fortune... loses the armor buff.
Yeah.
It keeps the 2-inch dodge, but loses the armor buff. That's, that is brutal. Did he gain anything? No.
Nope.
It's just stripped him naked and left him for the wolves.
Well, he's still good, though, but He's less good. Well, actually, I think that the biggest thing that's going to hurt is like, it's a super shot.
And, yeah, for sure.
And Promise of Fortune, because like you could just move in and the line before all by himself. And a 5-1 model was really hard to get rid of. And with super shot, yeah. he was able to stay at 10 inches from the goal. And then do some, and be able to do snapshots later on that turn. So it was easy to score 2 goals on the way back, on the return goal.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know he was incredibly powerful. I don't know if he was still considered best captain in the game, but for, I know for a long time he was, and he's gone through other nerfs before, I believe.
Yeah, it's the second time.
Yeah.
Last time was more of a complete change of
The way he was used. Yeah.
to make him another OP model. It's a different type of OP model. next up, Vitriol.
We're keeping with the alchemist.
Okay. Yeah, yes, Vitriol. Yes. She lost a lot.
Yeah, so Cover of Darkness removed. Hidden Damage removed. Playbook edits. Let's look at that. What changed?
Well, on the fifth column, she used to have a momentous 3 damage and a double dodge. And now it's only 3 damage, non-momentous.
Yeah, and her double dodge momentous has moved to the fourth column.
Yeah, exactly.
All by itself.
Yeah. But on
our
the
second, our 2 damage is also 1 column later.
Yeah, exactly.
The third column now.
And she lost the 3 damage in the fourth column. So she... All the tools she had to beat player down, especially with the ability from Skill with Shadows.
We haven't gone through everything yet. Oh, so.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. So those are for the playbook.
But she lost hidden damage as well.
Yeah. And it's the same thing we saw with Veteran Siren, right? She wasn't intended to be a beat stick, so they wanted people to not use her that way. So... At least that's the impression I get.
Yeah, because she was able to do 4
in my expert opinion.
Well, she was able to do 4 momentum damage and then double dodge out. And so, yeah.
Sounds totally fair. All right.
But she lost.
She changed for a turn and then. She lost 2 HP.
Yep, she went down to 10 HP with a recovery level set to the 5th box as opposed to the 6th.
Yeah, and she gained a new trait.
Yeah. A new trait called "I've been burnt before."
Yeah.
What are you working for, Antoine? Is that the
trait mispronounce?
Oh, it was me.
Oh, okay. I thought it was okay.
Because it's really more situational and it doesn't compensate for the loss of Cover of Darkness.
So at the start of this model's activation, choose a model that is suffering the burning condition or the poison condition that is within this model's melee zone. She has a 2-inch melee, yeah. This model may immediately make a 2-inch dodge away from the chosen model. So basically, she can run away from people that are on fire and or poisoned.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, I mean, it's a situation like you said, but at least the Alchemist put out lots of fire and poison. So I guess it works. There's a synergy there.
And as well, you have to think like you have a Catalyst that is always on fire who's on your team. So it's going to give her the two-inch dodge, and you can have a Crucible as well, who will often have condition on her because she's giving condition away. So it's possible, but most of the time it's gonna be like the other player and the way she is.
It's a conditional shadow, like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so she doesn't have it all the time. You need to proc it.
You need to plan for it. It's before, it was just drop the smoke bomb and there you have your cover if you need it. Which she still get, though. She still keeps her smoke bomb.
Yep, true.
Because she still...
She don't gain speed for it.
No, but still skills with the shadow.
Yeah. But to be honest, a model with 9 movement and 2 inches of melee and an optional free 2 dodge at the start... She could cover so much board. So getting the last 2 in a conditional way, at least makes it harder.
It's the same thing we saw with Mist in season 3. He lost his where they go, replaced for a 4-inch dodge by a 2-inch dodge, and lost the cover of darkness as well, but gained the 2-inch dodge if he's within 6 inches of a Saltician model. So I think they're trying to like put more condition to free movement instead of have it by so easily and default.
Yeah.
So careful, Paul. I think Sakana is next on the nerf list.
Oh, I don't think Sakana's in the same league. I think I think he's okay.
I know.
All right. Let's move on to Butchers. First up, Ox. His playbook got reworked, and he's got some more damage in there now.
The damage is easier now. So his 2 damage moved from 4 to 3.
3, yep.
His 3 damage moved from 6 to 5. And in the last column, in 7 column, he now gets a 4.
Which is momentous.
Yeah. And and also his damage that used to be the butchery and 2 damage is now butchery and 3 damage by the looks of it.
Yeah, move from 7th column to 6th.
Yeah. So Ox is more Oxy.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yep.
And he lost his damage push.
Yeah, he lost his 2 damage and double push.
I think that was a way to remove pushes, momentous pushes from the butchers.
Yeah. It's okay. He gained 3 damage, which becomes a 4 because of his aura. So that's not too bad.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So all right.
So the big change.
He's going to kill me even faster now.
Exactly. Next up, Mason's Hammer.
Can't touch this.
So, his playbook. Wow.
Yeah.
Listening to changes would probably take longer than we have for the whole show. It's drastic. His knockdown
simplified.
He had, the thing is, on almost all results, he had 2 choices.
Mm-hmm.
And now he doesn't.
Now he's only got 2 choices on 1 result. Yeah.
But he only has 1 line of choice now.
Exactly.
But he's got his knockdowns moved up.
Yeah.
And now which I guess makes sense.
It's tackle knockdown.
He's got a tackle knockdown which on is fun. 2. He had a tackle before on 2 and a knockdown on 3. Now they're combined. But he lost the damage from the knockdown. Then also he had a knockdown on 6 before. And now that's in 4 with 2 damage, non-momentous. So he's going to be knocking everyone down.
That's replaced by just 4 damage.
Yeah, he's got a straight 4 damage. He's got a non-momentous 3 damage double push in 5.
Yeah.
Basically has nothing momentous past 3 anymore, which is interesting.
Instead of 4 before, because before you had 2 and tackle, 2 momentous and tackle at 4, and now it's at 3. So, and he lost his 4 moment, his 4 damage and the double push. So if you want to do the double push, you need to stay at 3 damage instead of a 4.
Somehow you'll just have to make do.
Yeah.
It's a big list of change, but I don't think there's that much change overall in the end.
I don't think it'll affect how you're playing the character. At least that won't.
Well, he did lose on the... Oh, but it was 2 before on the 6th column, 5th column, sorry. It was 2 damage double push, and now it's 3 damage double push. So,
mm-hmm.
So they just reworked it a bit, I guess.
Yeah, because he had a 3 damage before and a 2 damage double push. Yeah. Now he's got a 3 damage double push. So he's doing okay. But aside from his, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the other changes as well.
Okay. So, beside his playbook, his character plays all had a range increase. They're all 4 inches before. Now they're 6 inches.
Yeah.
So that's good. And hammer time has changed. It's now.
I was going to say just Kintages.
Yeah, I know you were. So it's no longer heroic play. It's now a legendary play with a 6 inch aura and some new text. When each other friendly guild model starts its activation within this aura, choose either +2/+2 move, plus one damage to playbook damage results, or +1/+1/0 kick. Other friendly guild models gains the chosen benefit for the remainder of the turn. So, pretty self-explanatory. Pick one of the three abilities, and exactly. You have it to the end of turn, if you're within the aura. So it's nice.
And they reduce the aura to 6 instead of 8 as well.
Yeah.
So overall, it's about the same thing, though. Because before, you could choose one of the character plays, and now the effects are just listed.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
The big difference is it's a one time now.
Yeah, because
it's reduced because it's now an aura of 6 instead of 8.
Before, it was heroic play. And now it's
you could do it every turn.
And now it's only...
So that's a nerf.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, straight up nerf. But I mean, to be able to do that every turn at an 8-inch range, like...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now Wit is a better range on his character plays, but a worst effect on is now legendary. He'll be able to help a bit more every turn, but less with the hammer time.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
So, speaking of playbooks that got simplified, next up, we're moving over to the Union. We have Harry the Hat. Harry the Hat got hit with the bat. So he's lost Crazy.
Do you want me to sing the Britney Spears song Crazy, or it's okay?
No, it's Crazy. We're okay.
Okay.
We're okay, Steve. Health recovery. I can't even talk. I'm so distracted by the thought of you singing Britney Spears. I have a picture of you shirtless rubbing your nipples. It's terrible. Okay, so Crazy is removed. Health recovery. The level is adjusted to the 10th box. So before, he used to go up to the 12th box, so it's now marked down 2.
Yeah.
Attack increased to 5 from
4.
From 4, which is good.
Because he lost Crazy.
Yeah, compensate for losing Crazy.
Yeah, and playbook edits. Now, his playbook changed quite a lot. It got simplified. He also lost 1 row, so he wraps a bit easier, I suppose. 2, 4, 6. Yeah, he's down to 5.
He lost all the double effects, though.
Yeah,
he lost all the double effects.
He lost...
All the possibilities are still there, but he can't do 2 at a time.
Exactly. Yeah, and his tackle's been moved from 3 to 4. And his 2 damage was moved to 3.
But also, he lost the 2 damage double push, which was one of the most used results when you were Crazy. Because it was on the fourth column, being attack of 7, getting that result was quite easy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially.
And he doesn't have any of the 3 damage double push or 3 damage knockdowns anymore. Exactly. So is he still good? Yeah.
Well, he didn't lose his inspiring at and rising anger. So he's still good. He still have 2-inch melee. He still have his pushes quite early to counterattack, but yeah, he lost Crazy, so he lost a bit of his punch, I think. But he's still good, but he's going to be a bit more support.
Mm-hmm.
And less...
I still think we'll see him in pretty much every list.
Yeah, of course.
For Union. Like...
Well, maybe not in Union, but like for Alchemist, who can use him because he still has inspiring hat, which is used a lot to reposition everybody with the free dodges and generate momentum and dodge and stuff like that. So
yeah.
And he still has
his push are still there.
Yeah.
His 2-inch melee, the inspiring hat, everything there is still there. Is just as less utility when he's going. Trying to really attack players.
Well, the biggest loss, I think, is the 2. I'm saying it again, but it's the 2 damage double push because you lost momentous damage basically. Because getting the 5, the momentous 3 on attack 5, you'll need some assist, knockdown, or stuff like that. Like you'll need a bigger setup to get that 3 damage as before. I think.
Yeah, he's no longer there to just generate damage.
Yeah, exactly. Damage before, he was able to like three damage, and now it's going to be a bit harder to get.
Yeah. And speaking of nerf bats...
Well, it's not a nerf bat, it's a complete rework again.
Yeah. So, Avarice and Greed, there are a ton of changes here. So, let's start with Avarice, and hopefully, reading these won't make it into a 3-hour cast. So, attack reduced to 5 from 6, which probably makes sense.
He's no longer a brewer playbook.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Influence changed to 2-3. He used to be 1-3, so that's an improvement.
Yes.
Kind of.
Single doubt has been removed.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because he had momentous single doubt on the first column.
Yeah, so no more of that. Many hands make light work removed.
It was the ability that when Greed was attached to him,
you got tackle on every result.
Yeah, every result.
that made it. You know what? I'll be honest. I'm glad they've made him not quite such an auto include because I really hated this model, but he was so good. I felt terrible for not using him.
That's why you need the con edition one.
Yeah, at least that one's funny. Okay.
The median has been removed. I'll just go outside of the order there, but it was replaced by Thuggery in the end.
Yeah.
So instead of doing tackles now, if you're near Greed, you get other bonus instead. You get a bonus to your damage and you get knocked down. I love what you said, Steve, when we talked about it, I think yesterday.
Yeah. It's like, Greed is in the way, and Avarice just shoved the player around, and poof.
he gets into a ball behind the player, and push him over Greed, so he gets on the ground. He gets knocked down that way.
Detach removed, so he no longer detaches.
Well,
he used to.
Yeah, actually, maybe we can talk about that.
It's no longer a threat, and it's a character play.
And it costs 0 to drop him off, but as we'll see later on for Greed, it costs 1 to get on back on.
Right. Playbook edits are shown. Well, it's a lot of playbook edits here. What do we got? He lost his knockdown on 2. Knockdown is now moved to 4. Interesting. He does have momentous 1 damage on 1, though, so at least he gets to generate some momentum there.
He does singled out.
Yeah,
well, singled out was gone, as we mentioned.
Yeah, singled out was momentous on the first column.
Yeah. But it was the only way to trigger it, so.
He lost 2 damage double push. Momentous 2 on double push.
On 4,
His knockdown getting far away is really bad because before, even though he's a 3-0 model, you were thinking twice before attacking him because if you didn't like push him out or knock him down, he would knock you down back because with tech 6 and a knockdown on 2, you were going to be knocked down
for
sure.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be too dicey to knock down. Well, you still have a double push on 2. But he doesn't have the knockdown anymore.
You know, it really surprised me considering the size of the model that he doesn't have a 2-inch melee. I always thought that was odd. Anyway. What else did we have that really changed? I guess that's it.
There's another thing. So he no longer have singled out, but if Greed
is attached.
He got plus 2 tack.
Yeah.
So instead of singled out, which was a bonus to other players too, now if Greed is there, it's always having 7 tack.
Yeah. I meant there was nothing else to really talk about in the playbook. There was nothing else to talk about in the model. No, the list still goes on for the model, yeah. And then we talked about Thuggery already, where, they tag team to...
They just push around.
To be jerks, yeah. And then, aside from that, there are a buttload of changes to Greed as well.
Yeah.
Movement changed to 3-6 from 4-6. We got slower. Attack reduced to 4. He was tack 7. What?
Yeah, it was tack 7. Well, he was the sneaky bastard with a razor blade.
Who thought that was a... Anyway.
He was crazy in the...
first
season.
Yeah. First 2 seasons, he was crazy. So now they removed
He could damage crazy. Himself to get to 7. So now he was pure 7.
Kick... Oh my god. Kick reduced to 1-4 from 4-6.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's major.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, jeez. That's influence now 0-2 instead of 1-1.
They clearly don't want them to be a major gold threat.
Yeah, well...
Where did they go was removed.
Exactly.
Rabbit animals removed. InSync was removed. Reattach was removed. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
So now you cannot get that first turn goal with them. Yeah. That's basically what they did. Because since everybody could take them... It was a sure bet to do a first turn goal. And it was because if you were kicking and the other player decided he wanted to do first turn goal, you had to set up your team to either like accept you're going to get scored and try to get rid of greed after that. Or you set up and try to stop the goal and put some players in the ball path and try to remove some dice and make it harder, but it was rough to stop.
Yeah, like now I imagine.
Now it's not an option anymore.
All right. His playbook. Wickedly simplified. So he used to have 8 columns in the playbook, most of them single. There's only, I think, 1 double before. Yeah. Now it's 4 columns, with 2, one column 1 and 2 have 2 choices.
Overall, and it's pretty similar. It's
except just... no momentous damage anymore.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but, you did the math, even though Greedy looks like he had more damage, because before, Avarice had a 6 stack with a Brewer's playbook. With the assist of Greed on the floor with him, plus singled out, he was dishing. Avarice was dishing more net damage because he could wrap more easily, rather than try to get the 4 damage on
7
on Greedy. Yeah. So the other thing is, they changed is now since now he's 0-2 instead of 1-1, and the other one is 2-3. So, like, it's going to be...
Overall, they got the same package, same amount of influence.
But the biggest difference is if you take out Greedy with his reduced movement and no influence on him, it's going to be harder. Like, you're going to have to force more to bring it back. And he lost as well where they go. So, basically, he lost 5 inches. So, if you take him out, he's going to...
It's going to be a long time before he gets into
Yeah, because the before game. He comes relevant again. Yeah. But the thing is, he now has singled out.
Yeah.
And you could pay 1 influence, like you drop it for 0, you attack with greed, then you do the singled out, you use 1 influence to pick him up, and then the other attack on with Avarice could become with
his plus 9.
Yeah. Plus 4 tack. So that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
So he could wrap and do
and you said the other attack. It's the other attacks, but because you could
Have
generated them from other players in your
Exactly. So you could put 2 on greed to do that. You need to put 2 on greed and 3 on Avarice, and then Avarice could deal 3 damage, 3 attacks with tack 9.
Ouch.
Now, question, why do you need to drop him in order to have him use singled out?
Well, he could be on the floor, but you don't want
if him... If he's attached, he cannot do his character play. He cannot attack while he's attached.
And he's going to be safer attached than detached.
Right. Okay.
Because he's so slow.
I didn't realize singled out didn't have an influence cost. It's a playbook only.
Yeah. Okay. So he needs to attack. And I think since not before, you had to detach him at the beginning of your activation.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's anytime because it's a character play. So you can do it anytime in your activation.
That's weird. So one of the things, he gained a new trait called Ready to Go, so he can be allocated influence, but not in the pitch. So I guess you can allocate him influence, then activate Avarice and drop him, and then he's got influence to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
And before, he could use influence on Avarice.
From instead. Avarice, yeah.
Instead of having it allocated on him.
Right.
So they were sharing a pool of 4 influence. Max.
Yeah, max of 4. So.
Okay, makes sense.
A lot of change. Overall, I think they can still do damage like they were doing before.
I think they are.
The big change is the speed of greed and their gold threat, which is no longer there.
They lost the gold threat and they're really there just to beat up people.
Yeah.
Because at 1-4.
They're tugs, like in the fluff.
At 1-4 and 1-6, they're not there to score.
No. But that's not what they're supposed to be there for, eh?
No.
All right. Next in line, Theron of the Hunters.
Yay!
Yeah.
Now we're talking buff. And not
Everything got nerfed or reworked, we could say. Because like Avarice and Greed, it's a rework more than a nerf. It's a nerf because they lost their gold thread, but
it's a bit of both.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Theron gained some stuff because he was kind of not in a great place before.
He was bad, Paul.
I am being politically correct. As you know, I believe in being very moderate in my opinions. And
I'm not moderate, and I know I can say fairly say I was the only one stupid enough to still play him even when Skata was out.
Yeah.
But now, I won't be the only stupid one playing him, probably.
No. So, first up, he gained Lightfooted, which really makes sense fluff-wise.
He gained back.
He gained back Lightfooted because he had it before.
Oh, that's right.
He lost it at the Lacerada.
Yeah. which is kind of stupid, honestly, because his ability was to put a forest, and he couldn't move through the forest because he wasn't Lightfooted. So, he was penalizing himself by putting a forest on the pitch.
That's so stupid. Anyway.
Now it's corrected, so.
Yep. Whoops.
Yeah, that was a whoops moment.
Yeah. He had some playbook edits.
Yeah, well.
So his playbook got shorter. His knockdown moved up from column 5 to column 4.
Yeah.
It's the same length.
It's the same length.
Change.
Well, I miscounted. Yes, because it looks like it got one shorter than me.
After reading all the great story on the Steamforge blog and all like how he's a beater and he's good at killing stuff and blah, blah, blah. But his playbook was not really reflecting that. But now it is.
Yeah, he had a lot of pushes and dodges before. Now he still has that, but he also has some good damaging abilities, right? Including a 4 damage that he didn't have previously.
Yeah, and his first column is a momentous one. So if you do fluff, you can still do 1 damage and generate momentum. But he still got his double dodge or single push on the second column, so you still need to think twice about trying when he wants to counterattack. But the thing is, his knockdown is now on 4 instead of 5.
Yep.
And
he lost all his double effects too.
Yeah, exactly.
But most of the playbook change we've seen in this errata are removing double effects.
Yeah, more choices to be made. Try to simplify
stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's more choices to be made. Like, you either push or you do damage. Well,
or rather, it makes the choices less obvious.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
It's not they're giving you more choice. They're actually giving you less choice in a way, but it makes the choices
more important.
More meaningful. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is now is 3 damage is on the 5th column, and he gained that precious 4 non-momentous damage.
Yeah. So he'll be able to do some wicked hurt to people.
Yeah, well, he's going to be at least near Jakar in damage, because Jakar has a 4 damage momentous on the 6th column. But at least now Theron has some damage potential as well.
And as a captain, he should, right?
Yeah, and especially since he still snares and everything. So, yeah, he's going to be able to hurt people a lot. And yep. he got changes to his character play as well.
Yeah, pinned, got a cost reduction. Yeah. So it went from cost 3 down to cost 2, which is good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is.
Oh, jeez. Arrow to the knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So that's now been changed to snipe.
And
changed, got rid of the once per turn.
Exactly. So that's good, because with 6 influence, if you want, you could do it 3 times.
Yeah, you could.
Do 1 pin and 2 twice snipe now.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could do 3 distance character plays, ranged character plays.
Now, snipe doesn't stack with itself, right? Like, you have to target different models, presumably?
Yeah, because...
You would get the damage, but not the matters
not to the effect, yeah. Exactly. The effect wouldn't stack.
Because you cannot be affected twice by the same character play.
I'm just making sure. Yeah. Okay.
And one of the big change he got as well is Sunstrike. Yeah.
Yeah. 2-inch range boost. So that's nice.
No, that's...
That's good, but that's not the good part.
The good part is the wording.
Oh, target friendly guild model may generate one momentum point.
And there is the from big each part.
Successful character play that targets an enemy model
from each
character play.
Before it was once
from a successful.
Go with Egret. If Egret had that and did one of her
snapfire,
which cost 1, you would generate 1. Now, if she snapfire 4 times, that's 4 momentum point.
Yep, that's really good.
Or Chaska with his shotgun could do it twice, 3 times now if you get a blessing of the Sunfather on him also.
Oh, Antoine cut off or it's me?
No, it's me too.
Okay.
Antoine, so you cut off. Cut. Yeah. So it's in my file.
Okay. Yeah. It'll still be there.
But yeah. Antoine, I need to correct you. It's not a shotgun. It's a boomstick.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, but still. And also, since it's a successful character play, so even if you use it with a bonus like boomstick or snapfire from... Blessing of the Sunfather, you would get that momentum as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good also on Cena, because Barrog is a character play. So she would double tap on the momentum.
Yeah, that's something we will need to check once the errata is live.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Let's see if there's a rule lawyer listening to this podcast and they could answer us.
I'm sure we're not the only one who would have... seen that.
Yeah. Contact us on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere if you feel you cannot double dip on the momentum, because it would be good, because you could Sunstrike Jakar as well, and if he does his gut and string, it would be now momentous, because in its playbook it's not momentous, so.
And you got another change.
Yep.
Yes.
So this is also really good. Blessing of the Sunfather gained new wording. Target friendly model within 6 inches may use a character play once during its activation without spending influence. Before that, it was capped at 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was the other friendly model keyword.
Yeah.
So now blessing can be done on Terran himself.
Himself, yep.
And same thing for Urn, because he has the same ability.
So. Yeah, exactly.
So
that's good.
He has the influence, he can do a 4th range play.
Yeah, because now with Sunstrike, he gains momentum, so he can do his momentum. He Sunstrike himself, he snipes, generate momentum, or pin, generate momentum, then get blessing. He does blessing on himself, and then snipes again.
Yep. Gross.
And all of those generating momentum.
Exactly.
Oh, Steve, I don't want to play you anymore.
Yeah, my captain got buffed and yours got nerfed. So.
I don't like my odds. All right, next up, Hearn. So his playbook changed. Let's take a quick look here. So,
well, it's not much. I think
I was gonna say it doesn't look like much.
The only difference,
got a momentous
single dot
instead of not being momentous.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest change.
That's the only change. Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Well, but yeah. he's still 1-3 influence. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the changes for Blessing of the Sunfather that we just covered on Theron.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's it.
And the other thing on Blessing of the Sunfather, there's no cost cap.
Yeah, so, Paul mentioned that.
So if
was there any ability that cost 4?
No, actually, now that Pin costs only 2, there are no ability that costs more than 2.
Okay.
But who knows what the future reserved to us.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, overall, I think good changes.
Yeah,
I think they're a little heavy-handed with Shark. I'm just gonna say, but, no, I'm just kidding. It's probably
Midas probably got all hurt good. the most. I think.
Yeah, Midas definitely took it to the chin. Definitely.
Yeah, he lost a lot.
But I can't think of any other player that really deserved it more than Midas. I mean, even for the limited amount I play and follow the game, you know, Midas was like the boogeyman. And he'd kind of lost that status a little bit,
yeah.
But he still had a lot of abilities. He was really, really good, and clearly better than a lot of other captains.
Theron.
Wow, Theron. Salt was better than Theron. So.
Well, I'm not saying Theron is good now. I mean,
he's better.
He's better than he was. Yeah,
he
yeah.
sucks less.
Well, that re-leveling the playing field will help.
But it's going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, there's lots of experimenting to be done now, right?
Of course.
What's that privateer press term? They've opened up the design space?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the change to Ahri and Avaris. They were the two Union player that we saw in every team.
Yeah.
So
Ahri especially, we saw everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, but like Avaris and Greed, which were really good, they were taken for the gold threat.
Yeah, exactly.
So now it's no longer the case. Ahri was taken for some of his support and some of his beat stickiness. So now he lost the beat stickiness, but the support is still there. So I think we'll still see Ahri, but Avaris and Greed will see less.
And maybe we'll see Harry in a different type of team now, right?
Yeah, but I don't know, because I think the reason he was taken is still there, but
he's still
on top
inch.
Of that, he was yeah. really good at doing damage.
Yeah, yeah, because now he's still, I mean, he's not bad. He still has a 2-inch melee. He still has a goad, the Molotov, and the free momentous teamwork with the aura of the beautiful hat. But I mean, he just lost a bit of the repositioning in the in his playbook, because it was too easy to push people out of the pitch. And now it's going to be
he
a bit...
He still got it, but he won't yeah. do damage and push people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he still have his low pushes. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll have to make a choice now, right?
Yeah, but yeah. It's on 2 with attack of 5 instead of being on attack of 7.
Oh, sure.
So it's going to be harder to do it, as before it was really easy to do it.
Yeah, but it's not... Like you said, it's on 2, right? I don't know if that's really going to be that hard to get to.
Well, on a 4-1 with attack of 5, usually you'll get it. But if you...
It's 50%. Yeah.
Yeah, if you fluff your dice or a bit. If you're not lucky and you roll bad.
If you're me, okay.
Yeah. If you're Paul.
If you, no, and you're using the green Chaos Ludzik dice, which are the worst dice ever made.
Please use the Amazon link, people, and so Paul can get new dice.
I have a bunch of the purple ones. I'm sure they're better than the green.
Yeah, they're better, much better. The one you used this year, but the green one, I mean, they're so bad. Sorry, Antoine, but.
Why would you be sorry for me? I don't mind.
Because
you're giving them out.
I know.
Yeah, it's no luck. No
we
luck.
Distributed the no luck to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it for the change.
Yeah, that's it. So I guess that's kind of a wrap to the first episode of Guilds of the North. Steve and I and Antoine also have talked about doing this for a while. And this was just a good opportunity to do a kind of one-off fun show and see what the response is. And if people like it, maybe we'll do some more where I will pretend where I know what I'm talking about and those two can actually have meaningful discussion.
And we'll have more
games. You say that, and in the first model we talked, I was wrong on the rule. So I'm not sure that's so true, Paul.
And plus the show is extra airtime to make fun of you. So.
Yes, there's that.
And it's an excuse to play Guild Ball. So all for the better.
Yep. And, you know, as far as I know, we're still on board for going to SteamCon.
SteamCon.
Yeah, and tickets are on sale today.
By the time the show goes live, the tickets will be on sale.
Yeah.
So $75 US for SteamCon USA, 50 British pounds for SteamCon UK.
Yep.
And SteamCon USA is at the old Adepticon location, I believe.
Yes, that's
in Chicago.
Yeah, that's the previous hotel that Adepticon was for 4, 5, 6 years, I think. I don't remember exactly. And there's a Target 5 minutes walk from there.
Oh wow! I mean, come on. But is there an Aldi?
No. Who cares about the Aldi? You have a Target with a Pizza Hut inside.
Well, but Aldi actually has food that won't kill you.
That's fun. Right. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah. So SteamCon USA, December 1st through 3rd. SteamCon UK, 17th through 19th of November. All the usual stuff that's going to be there. I guess we might as well discuss a little bit. So yeah, it's at the Westin Lombard Yorktown Center in Chicago. Some of the events on site. Let me just get that email open. Ba-ba-da-ba. We have the keynote speeches for Guild Ball, Dark Soul, and new upcoming projects. I would not be surprised if they show their new fantasy game. Or at least some previews.
I hope so. Hopefully. Yeah. I won't be there, but I hope so.
Okay. There's place in the car, Antoine.
You know. Yeah, that's not the problem.
I know. Bring the kids.
Sure.
Take them out of daycare, bring them along. They're also going to have
Steve? Play at the Target.
We can teach them how to play Guild Ball. I mean, Juliet's maybe a little young, but there's no reason Theo can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from maybe his attention span, but that's all. But hey, if I can play it, anyone can play it. There's also a design a player with the dev team. Like they did that last year. And I think if Steve is correct, they'll be giving out that model, the rat catcher, I think it was, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's what they mentioned previously in the keynotes they did at the Advengeance. They did a keynote.
Okay.
And a Q&A session, and they said it should be in the swag bag.
Nice. There's a sculpting with Russ.
For the player they just designed.
That's right. And a State of the Empire backstory creation with Sherwin.
For
the player.
Yeah. Sherwin is the fluff guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah.
But what I'm curious is, are they going to do one player in the UK, one player in the US? And because the SteamCon UK is, 2 weeks before the US? Something like that?
Mm.
So, for the keynote, will they separate it? So we have some news from the UK, and then we got different news in the US? It's going to be interesting.
Hopefully, because otherwise it's going to be kind of boring, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so hopefully
spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's just have beer with the guys, because you all know what we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Because of the internet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I go to a number of cons, but I've never been to a pure gaming con without a hobby. Actually, no, I say that, and that's not really true. TempleCon was pure gaming, no hobby.
And
I've been to that.
Oh, sorry. I received a message from...
Apparently. Chewbacca's calling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my girlfriend who sent me a message.
I think it's safe to call her wife, Steve.
No, but we're not married.
Two kids in a house. You're married. You stop lying to yourself, Steve. All right. So if you're planning to go to SteamCon, be sure to... And you listen to the show, you know, if someone might listen to the show, be sure to let us know and we can get together and have a beer or something. All right. Gentlemen, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, let's hope for an episode 2.
Yeah, well, we'll hope. We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, guys, thanks. This was totally short notice. Great idea, Antoine and Steve. And yeah, hopefully you'll have me back next time to make fun of you.
Take care, Paul.
So, yeah, take care, everyone.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at eltonioberg, Steve at b_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find The Game Huntress. Wherever there's XP or achievements, The Game Huntress blog will always be on the hunt. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.